Have you ever experienced a situation where someone is earnestly talking to you, trying to help, passing on solutions as what to do, and so on, but after a while that you have to interrupt and said, it's not helping? Now, this is the third time you see me here delivering a Sunday worship message. And if I was in your place and sitting there, and if I was facing some real and serious issues that I don't know what to do today, I could be the one saying, it's not helping. And, well, you know, especially we're in this season of Advent or Christmas, celebrating the birth of Christ in peace. And I could be saying that. And because so far that we have not really looked at how Scripture tells us functionally how to find peace in God and to help us in effectively managing the issue and crisis we have along the way. So to help celebrate peace in Christ, today we're going to glean from Psalm 27 and how God set me high upon a rock. Now, I have to tell you, this is gleaning from Psalm, okay? And if the Motion Picture Association look at the message, they may be rating this close to PG-13, okay? So, but I think the congregation, we're all good for that. So first, in John 16:33, that Jesus told the disciple, in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, while each of us may have very different trouble and the stress goes along with it, and we often wish or believe that if I reach a certain level of accomplishment or goal or a certain stage in life, that trouble and stress would just go away. Now life may give you some momentary in the bubble where that you have temporary harmony or ignorance or wealth. You get a momentary rest. But the reality is that in each stage of life, that it has its own challenges, and you will encounter various stress and failures along the way and all the way, okay? And so these so-called troubles that causes anxiety and stress, and often that these stress that influence our behavior, and behavior is everything we do, and sometimes that we do not know why we do certain things, okay? And I learned some basic anxiety and stress from one of my best college buddies. Bob was a psychology PhD candidate at the time, and later on he became a well-regarded counseling psychologist. And he reminds me of like our current JBD chair, Dr. Edward Lai, and Rebecca Wong, and some others among us. And of course, around here, we just call Edward by his name, Edward. Okay? In the church family, we don't rank people by their occupational accomplishments. So the bit of science I learned from psychology is that any changes that would naturally create anxiety in us, okay, the bigger the change, the bigger the anxieties. And there's, you know, within, when the anxiety become unmanageable, the unmanageable anxiety actually could create, could cause a person to become schizophrenic or mentally crazy or getting into depression. Now, some people may be prone to become schizophrenia, and a life event that are very stressful, emotional, could trigger a psychotic episode, okay? And so what we know for sure is that these stress that sometimes can very negatively impact our lives, and Christian is not immune to it if it leave it up to ourselves entirely. Now, so novelistically speaking, one of the understanding is that stress suffering can have a progression that get us into real serious problems. And it's very similar to physical illness progressions. Like you have an incidental cold, it turns into an upper respiratory infection, and then bronchitis and pneumonia, and then you may end up to be in the hospital. Now, stress suffering, it could start like incidental setback causes you to lead to pessimistic thinking, low self-esteem, a sense of hopelessness, fall into isolation, turn into a lack of serotonin and other chemicals that is in the brain that relate to depressions. And you might need medication, and you could be in the hospital. It's one of those progressions. So, however, that positively, now that was unmanageable anxiety, but positively, manageable anxiety is actually a form of motivation, which we all have all the time. So let me share an extreme example of huge changes will lead to a huge anxiety, but it's managed, so it leads to huge motivation. So a recent 60 Minutes TV episode was a story of a very well-regarded football star, Tim Green. Now, in football circle, Tim Green is always being considered as a Renaissance man. He was an All-American defensive lineman at Syracuse University and graduated with summa cum laude in an English major. And then in the 7 years that, 8 years that he spent sacking NFL quarterbacks for the Atlanta Falcons. And during his spare time, he picked up a law degree. And then in the 7 years at the Fox News sporting booth, he started writing books. And six of them ended up being the bestseller list. So in this TV, 60 Minutes, that Tim Green talked about he was diagnosed with ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or known as the Lou Gehrig's disease. Now, ALS is always fatal, as one gradually loses all the controls of all the muscles. And the average life expectancy for ALS is 2 to 5 years from the time of diagnosis. So this was a truly moving story. While Tim Green talked about his passion in football and family, he was adopted. So now he has a wife of 29 years and 5 children, and how God has blessed him. It's a and there's a lot of rich message in the story, but what really jumped out at me watching the episode was that when he started to deteriorate, he had to go see a neurologist. So he went to see Dr. Merit Sakalwis at the Healy Center of ALS at the Prestige Massachusetts General Hospital. Dr. Sakalwis is deal with ALS and ALS patient all the time. And she said that, quote, everybody with ALS has a serious diagnosis. It is today a fatal disease. There's no cure today, but there's a lot of signs and a lot of hope for our patients. Now, the way, unquote, so it is the way she said it, focusing with today and hope, framing her message, she came across as a real person that really know how to deal with changes. You see, while talking about Tim Green, It's not quite like talking about Mother Teresa, but they're both larger than life, extraordinary people. You know, it just seems like it's so above real life sometimes for me that I can relate to the neurologist much better. And because she reminded me of people like a young man that 10 years ago used to sit here and who just finished his residency at Mass General a couple years ago, or another extraordinary individual that who chose to be a naval officer and he faces 100 feet wave on deployments, or missionaries, school teachers, people in real estate, or in one of the jobs in a service industry, or a retired artist, that we're all extraordinary in some ways, and we face extraordinary circumstances that sometimes, and that stress comes along with it, and how do we deal with it positively, okay? That so we could work this into a life of purpose for our Lord. So we'll think that even someone like Apostle Paul, for example, you know, that's kind of like high up on the scale there, that, you know, who said in Philippians 3:8, Paul says that, "I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, but I may gain Christ." Now, that's a very high standard, right? Giving up everything. So you would think that Paul should have no stress, right? No, not really. Paul actually still faced a lot of stress. And he told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 11. And let me quickly read this for you, okay? Paul says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despair of life itself." Now, it sounds like suicidal thought to me, okay? Now, verse 8, "Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayer for many." So God will continue to deliver us by our prayers. So while we may not fully understand everyone's challenges, but our omnipotent God knows everything. And as in verse 33 earlier, says that in me you may have peace. Okay? "And take heart, I have overcome the world." So that's the base. While there are a lot of scripture can teach us about this, but today we're going to glean from Psalm 27. About how functionally that God is letting us have this peace, as in how we find refuge in him. In other words, how we make the right choices so he is setting us up high on the rock, as in verse 5 in Psalm 27. So part 1 in Psalm 27 is verse 1 through 3. Now, you have to kind of follow me on this. We're trying to glean this, all right? So let me read this. Then it says, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemy and my foe who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. The war break out against me, even then I will be confident." This teaches us to strongly protect our self-esteem and confidence. We are God's children. Our self-esteem It's not built on the worldly things, but it's built on our faith in God and the truth in the scripture God has given us. We know God has a plan for my future. Okay, so if God allowed me to encounter challenges, bad things, and failures, we ought to keep in mind that those bad incidents does not equate to my personality. A tough history is not a prediction of my destiny. Okay? Circumstances still depends on our interpretations. And a mistake is not that I'm foolish. And any setback does not define that I become a loser. So as stress suffering is our subjective reaction to undesirable circumstances, and in identical circumstances that various people can have varying degree and all variety of reactions, okay? So it is crucial that we can relate to this ideas of subjective reactions. So we know we can rely on God as we respond to changes. So just a brain teaser that we're going to borrow this drawing from the book of Seven Habits for Highly Effective People, which is a very popular book in industry and business. But we're just borrowing as a tool to give you a feel of like a brain teaser here is that what do you see of this lady in the drawing here? Do you see a lady with sunshine? Or do you see a lady with a bit of a stress and really down and stressed out? Now, some people see it right away. Some people take a little while. So actually, they're both in there, okay? If you see this is the eye and this is the ear, okay, and it's looking this way, okay, and you see the lady with the sunshines. However, if you look at this, this is the eyes, and this is the nose, and this is the mouth, and this is the chin, and you're looking down this way, and you see the lady that is rather stressed. Well, it's just a brain teaser to help us understand that sometimes that when we are facing with a set of circumstances or informations, that we could have different interpretations. All right, so moving on, so what we're trying to say is that we need to have a proactive response to various things that we want to protect our self-esteem and confidence. Okay, failure is not about unable to accomplish, but it's a chance that we have learned something. Lost is not you were foolish, but we have a lot of conviction to try. Defeat is nothing to be ashamed, but it's my willingness to try. Setback is not you're a failure, but it's about I have yet to succeed. Breakdown is not a lack of capability, but it's about finding the right solution. Rejection is not a waste of time, but it's you could try again. And letdown is not that God has given up, but it's God has something else in mind that is better for you. This is a bit of a distraction. We'll move on from here. So, well, let me quickly share an incident of very different emotions that reaction from an unexpected event. A number of years ago, I had a chance to go on a college visit and meeting this bright young student that the school presented as the guy that to introduce the school, and he did a very impressive job. This is when I met Jeffrey. And then a year later, I learned that in this intensely competitive environment, that Jeffrey is actually one of those happy people. And he goes to one of the church that a lot of the students go to on campus. And then The following year, after finishing a summer intern at a very sought-after firm, Jeffrey, being a runner, after school start, he went and run a marathon. And as he finished the finish line, that he fell down and his heart stopped beating, and he died there. And his older brother is a young physician, so he chose to witness Jeffrey's autopsy to validate that it was unexpected heart failure. And during the memorial service, the mother said in full peace, the mother said that Jeffrey has done everything God has intended for him in his time. But the dad was sitting there sobbing uncontrollably because of Jeffrey's sudden departure. Now, we all know that all three of them, that in this very difficult circumstance, they had very different reactions. But we all know that all three of them are in confidence in God and not in fear, but they still have very different reactions. So if we have different reactions at different times, that as long as we're protecting our self-esteem and confidence, and that's quite okay. All right. So hopefully this is part one, that hopefully this example will help us understand and relate. And part two is verse 4 and 5. It says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the days of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock." What we can learn from this is that we need to re-examine things from God's perspective. The means to gaze on the beauty of the Lord is mostly through knowing the scripture. We have to continue to read the Bible, to seek him in his temple and being in his dwelling and shelters. God revealed himself to us in vast details only in the Bible. He encouraged us to have a proactive approach to life, from, like I said, from a set of circumstances to our interpretation, our emotional response, and to the life that we will live. For example, Second Corinthians 11, verse 29 says, "Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn?" This is weakness. Help us learn to have empathy and care for others when we're being in weakness. Romans 5:3. "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope." So suffering sometimes produces a chance to grow and develop our inner strength. Luke 6:20, Jesus, looking at his disciple, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now, poverty sometimes will motivate us to seek the spiritual abundance. In Philippians 1:12, "Now, I want you to know, brother and sister, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." So Paul is talking about his chain actually advanced the gospel. These are things that tell us that we need to re-examine things from God's perspective. In part 3, verse 6, "Then my head will be exalted above the enemy who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shout of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." So this is about that we need to choose a proactive response. Instead of living in a regret, we need to live in a vision of the futures. Instead of regurgitating our last failures, let's focus on success in the future. And sadness cannot reverse the past, but enthusiasm will help us build the futures. As you can see in 1 Samuel 16:1, that the Lord said to Samuel, "How long would you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king for Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." So sometimes it's just, you know, once we recognize what's going on, that we ought to have a proactive response and moving on. And the next part is part four, verse 7 through 10. "Hear my voice when I call. Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." Teach us to ask the right questions for the Lord to hear our voice, not hide his face, not reject or forsake me, that it is important if we're asking the correct questions. For example, those who love to live in the past often ask why. Why did I get sick? Why did I get ALS? You know, God, why did you let this happen to me? There's often no answers. Now, those who live in the present often ask what. What am I supposed to learn from this, or what happened? And those who live in the future often ask how. How can I avoid this failure from happening again? For example, in Job, that Job kind of made a mistake that he kept asking all the whys, why all his children were killed and all his belongings were burned and all these sufferings upon him. And his three friends tried to talk to him, but it's not helping. And finally, the Lord speak to him and ask him 38 questions. And Job cannot answer any of them. And he realized that it's not about the why. So he turned and faced the future and moving on with confidence. So part four teaches us to ask the right questions. And also here that this is one of my favorite verses. It's Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, "The sacred thing belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." So this is about asking the correct questions. Part five, moving on to verse 11 and 12. "Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations." This teaches us to depend on God in managing our inner strength to impact our lives. And let me explain this a little bit, that what determines our life often not is not just the circumstances, but it's our assertiveness. And what determines our future often is not just the challenges, but it's our attitude. And what determines our accomplishment often is not our backgrounds, but it's our vision. And what determines our success or failure often is not our IQ, but our AQ, adversity quotient instead of intelligent quotients. In other words, AQ is resilience. Can you stand back up after the setback? And the Galatians 2:20 says that I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jar of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So this part is about we need to depend on God in managing our inner strength to impact our lives. Last part, verse 13 and 14. It says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Teach us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change and patient for God's timing. So in conclusion, this is about the take heart and how God gives us comfort, encouragement, and strength. It is what enables us to get into a positive progression based on a wonderful faith in Jesus. That while we encounter setback and difficulty, being big or small, that let God protect our self-esteem and confidence. We re-examine things from God's perspective, choose a proactive response, ask the correct questions, and depend on God in managing our inner strength. Accept the things I cannot change and be patient of the Lord's timing. So all this will turn it into a fuller life with peace and purpose for God. Now, it may be a little hard to follow, so thank you for listening.